Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls alike, to episode 11 of Punchline Pixels. I'm your host, Laird Wysocki. With me, as always, is my ever-loving, ever-charming, and ever-seductive co-host.
I'm Alex Van Dam.
There he is.
I'm jumping in. I'm not even going to let him introduce me on that one because I'm thrilled to be here. And I want everyone to know who I am.
I was not going to do that. I was not letting on to a good intro. So
that's fair.
Glad you took the reins on that one.
My spirits are a little higher than they were last episode.
Woo! What's happening? Why are you feeling on cloud nine?
I don't know, man. I just, you know, felt like last episode I came in a little bit down, a little bit in a low mental space like I have a couple times maybe in this podcast, but I'm feeling good. I'm feeling vigorous.
Ooh.
All right? I'm feeling, on top of shit a little bit, all right?
Wow. This is what we want to hear, too. This is what the fans want to hear. They want to hear that you're doing well. People are constantly chiming in and asking about your well-being.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, don't worry, people. I'm okay.
Yep.
All right? I don't want anyone to fret. I'm all right. All right.
Hopefully that gives some people some peace of mind here. And hopefully that carries them in through this episode and throughout the week that they can live on knowing that Alex is doing well. So, Alex, how's your gaming portfolio been lately?
Woo! Well, honestly, it hasn't been very vast. I've been playing a lot of Stardew Valley, the new update, though. That's been mainly what I've been doing.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about it. Tell me the name, firstly, and then...
The name?
Mm-hmm.
Stardew Valley.
You're an asshole. Is there not a name to, like, the DLC or something?
Stardew Valley 1.6. That really is the name of...
God, how do you think they came up with the name?
If I were to wager a guess, I think the last one was 1.5.
Well, you might be wrong, because they might do, like, a 1.53 or something
like
that.
Yeah, they probably do. But you know what? For the sake of this bit and you asking me that fucking question, they moved on from that. They went with 1.6. There's actually a 1.6.3 already that has been released.
But and I stand.
There's new stuff. There's a new farm to fuck around with the... You start with a chicken coop. It's a wilderness, more like a livestock-oriented farm. There's bluegrass and shit.
The music?
I ain't talking about no music.
Oh,
no,
you
sir.
Literally just mean the grass is blue.
I'm talking about bluegrass. It just makes your animals happier. There's new festivals, a couple new events, new dialogue, new stuff like that to keep people that are fans of that franchise thrilled.
Was this free, I'm assuming?
Yes.
How cool. Yeah. You know, I love a game that comes out with updates, even if it's not regularly, but, you know, 5 years old, 10-year old game getting updates still is always a really cool support to see. And I think that's like respect to gamers, and it's not a respect we get often nowadays.
Yeah, no, I know you like your support like you like your women about 10 years old.
I wasn't even called for this.
I'm happy with that one. I was so thrilled with that.
It's all right.
Anyway, it's a lot of fun so far. If you're a fan of that game, that's going to keep you entertained for a long time, I think.
Well, it's been keeping you entertained for a long time now.
Yeah.
You've been playing that game how long?
Oh, fuck. Since it's been out, pretty much.
I don't even know when that game came out. It was a while ago, I know.
Yeah. So that's one of my top five probably favorite games of all time. Stardew Valley. Check it out.
Boom.
Yeah.
Segment.
Other than that, haven't been playing anything else. Sorry to cut you off there.
No, I think, it's been, you know, I think it's also a bit of a slower time right now in the gaming industry after the releases that have came out recently. So I guess we can kind of touch on the big ones that came out, you know. We'll start with Dragon's Dogma 2. Sounds like you haven't purchased it either.
I have not.
Yeah.
Reason
for the hesitation.
We're not, you know, I shouldn't throw you into this. I'm sorry. I'm not, like, rich. Like, I don't, I can't just buy every game. I do buy a lot of them.
You do buy a lot of them.
But Dragon's Dogma 2 and, you know, we'll get to it, Rise of the Ronin are two games that are just right on the cusp of purchasing for me, but yeah. I haven't been able to spring for the $70 right now, to be honest.
You're going to wait for a sale, you think?
Probably wait for a sale on that, but it's just, you know, Dragon's Dogma is not as much up my alley as, you know, some of maybe other people I know. But it looks really good. I mean, it looks like pretty well polished, at least as far as the experience goes. But I don't know, it looks a little bland to me, maybe a little,
I agree with
but.
that, man. And I think it almost looks like it suffers, in my opinion, suffers, and a lot of people probably find this endearing and what they like about it, but I think that blandness, it looks like it suffers from the same issues the first one did. Like, I look at it and it looks like it's, there's not much of a story to it. It's pretty straightforward. Like, you go here, you get to kill this and you leave, the pawn system's still there and it's structured the same. I feel like if the pawn system didn't click with you on the first one, it's probably not going to this time.
Probably not.
It looks like a more polished version of Dark Arisen. Dark Arisen? Right.
It looks like, what that game probably should have been. I mean, obviously it's an old game now. But yeah, I don't know. Eventually I'll get that game. I'm actually more excited to play Rise of the Ronin. I'm on the cusp. The second time I've said that, of buying that game. I think I'm gonna get Rise of the Ronin before I get Dragon's Dogma 2.
Yeah, consensus on it is pretty mixed.
Yeah, I know, but it looks more up my alley than Dogma, even though I'd say Dragon's Dogma 2 has an overall better review score.
Right.
Rise of the Ronin looks more up my alley. I'm still intrigued by the setting and the combat and the traversal aspects of it. And shout out to Jake Baldino. He loved it. So a lot of what he plays, I feel like, aligns with what I enjoy. So I think I'm gonna give that a shot probably sometime here soon.
It's respectable.
And other than that, we're just gonna be catching up on games that we've been, playing. A little Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth
Of
for
course.
me.
Of course you have to.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been super hardcore into it, I haven't completely gone balls deep yet in that
Well,
one,
that's a
but
damn shame too, because when you do, it's glorious.
I'm yeah, exactly. It is glorious. I'm just worried about getting it pregnant. I can't
Well,
afford a little Infinite Wealth baby.
coitus, baby.
But what have you
Coitus.
been playing, my friend? Fuck.
Dude, not too
Fuck!
much. I've been pretty busy lately in terms of traveling. So, gaming and getting things done hasn't been as productive, but God of War Ragnarok. I've been slowly racking away at that. The
Ragnarok
Ragnaracking
in a way,
away.
yeah.
Great game. I'll reiterate it again. There's the set design, I mean, the game design, the world design on it is just so, like, it pulls you into that world so much so. And, obviously when PlayStation's funding and backing is behind a game like that, those games are bulletproof, dude. They're just so polished and there's just hardly any bugs. And maybe there's people out there who have seen bugs, but it's a pretty bug-free experience for me so far and been really liking it. But besides that, start a little Tears of the Kingdom again. Trying to
Tears of the
chip away at a
Kingdom.
little bit of these again, There's still newer games that I'd like to still stay in the ether,
Good word.
I don't want to, fall too far behind only playing retro games, but if I'm being honest, Rise of the Ronin I have zero interest in. And Dragon's Dogma, I think, maybe a heavy sale of $40 or 50 I might go for it, but oh man, it looks like it's just maybe just a bit too shallow of an experience. And I've watched quite a few reviews at this point, from, probably 10 plus different perspectives on it. All mixed reviews, whether they liked it or not. But, some people will say game of the year. So, I don't know what I think about
I
that,
don't know what
but
to call it. Not my game of the year. Not my president.
Shit.
But yeah, other than that, I mean, I guess there's not a ton that I'm looking forward to.
No, I mean the year doesn't have too many more things, besides like a Star Wars Outlaws and things like that. There really isn't many big releases coming up. So this is a great year to kind of chip away at your backlog or games that came out recently. I'm sure Baldur's Gate 3 is on a lot of people's list too.
Yeah,
Just
that is something I need to chip away on, especially now that they've declared that they're not going to be making any DLC or anything for it. That actually makes me want to play the base game more, you know what I mean? Because it's like, oh, there's an end there. Like, I can actually play through that game.
I've heard it concludes nicely too.
Yeah. There's a beginning, middle, and end, from what I've heard, like most stories. And
There should be.
yeah. So that's definitely one that's going to be on my radar too. And I know you say this is a great year to chip away on your backlog, but I think there's going to be a lot of surprises.
I
I
hope
think
so.
there's going to be a lot of little things that pop up, like your Helldivers 2 and your like shit like that, that'll come out and surprise you. Yeah.
It'd be nice to, because, you know, I actually wouldn't mind a cool year of just cooling off a little. Because, I mean, last year was just one rocker after another. So to try and catch up with that, you know, stay relevant in that gaming space, it's a lot sometimes.
Yeah.
To try, firstly, to purchase all these games. And to secondly, get enough playing in that you can get some sort of perspective on it. You know, not purchasing Dragon's Dogma and Rise of the Ronin, we don't own the two newest games out right now.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
You know, it kind of leaves you a little bit behind, but I think then you have to also be discerning about if it's even something you're interested in at the same time.
No, absolutely. I think there are a few games. I mean, I guess this is kind of segue into our next segment here. My Whoa. Next segment, upcoming game releases.
Whoa.
Beep, boom. Do. Oh, do me, Daddy.
Oh, boy.
What?
You got to do that every time we do this now.
That's the theme song to upcoming game release.
Listen, I didn't approve that, but I do approve
of it. Oh, God, this might have been a pre-show conversation. Oh, you do? Okay, good. I'm glad. Also, I can't see, so just, you know, get that. No, I'm blind. Yeah, so a few games I'm looking forward to coming up here. April 9, Children of the Sun. I don't know if you're familiar at all with it. It
doesn't sound familiar.
It looks intriguing. There's not a lot to be known about it other than it's this really trippy kind of abstract art style. I think it's a PC exclusive right now, actually, but... You know, I got that Steam Deck, so I'm talking a little bit more on the PC realm than I had in episodes past.
That's good. That's good.
But it's a game where you are a sniper of some sort, and you control the bullet. So the bullet hits someone, and then you control it from target to target. It looks like it's almost going to be like a puzzle game of some sort with, you know, that element to it. So, I don't know. I'm intrigued by that game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It almost looks like a Devolver style game, you know, something they would publish. I don't know who the publisher is on that. Maybe it is a Devolver game, but yeah, that's the first one I have on my April radar. So
Sniper
far.
Elite with puzzles.
Not even close.
Sniper Elite with puzzles, it. Folks. You heard it here first.
Look into it a little bit. I think it's gonna be just one of those games that's a lot of fun that surprises people a little bit. Harold Halibut finally comes out.
Come on now.
Game I don't know a ton about. It's been in development for like 14 years now. An adventure game with a very cool cartoony art style, almost in akin to Wallace and Gromit looking.
Yeah.
Cartoony.
Kind of like a claymation
style.
Look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's finally coming out. Looking forward to that one. Let's see if I can read. Another Crab's Treasure.
Yes.
Yeah, I've discussed this one in the past. It might be a little fun Dark Souls-esque game that's not as difficult as a Dark Souls game, but that is what it is. It's a cartoony, almost child-looking Souls-like.
Yes, it is.
Where you are a crab under the sea.
Yep.
You know, looks like fun. Maybe not on the top of my list, but hey.
It's tough, you know, when there's so many games to play.
Yeah.
And then games like Goat Simulator come out, where it's like, hey, they're a ton of fun, but is this the most productive use of my gaming time?
Not necessarily, right. But, you know, hey, maybe April's time to play games like Another Crab's Treasure, which will be hitting shelves April 25, ladies and gentlemen. And then finally, one game that I actually am intrigued to play, and... play the demo that's now out is Stellar Blade on April 26th. I'm a big fan of Bayonetta. I own all the Bayonetta games.
Oh, do you really?
On Switch. Yeah, and I've not beaten the last one, but I've beaten all the other ones. And it looks like a blend of that and what's that fucking game, not Vengeance, Vanguard. Vanquish. That's it. Vanquish.
The one where he slides everywhere.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Which was a fucking blast, you know, control scheme wise. So I hope they can meld that a little bit. It looks like a lot of fun. I'm probably going to play the demo at some point this weekend, so I'll be able to talk about that a little bit more next time.
Yeah. But, by the next time we record, well, actually, it may not be out because it looks like, it comes out the 26th?
Yeah, April 26th.
So it looks like there's definitely some time to get the demo in, try it, see if it's for you. You know.
I'm just going to dip my tip in. Yep. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Stellar Blade. Art style looks like fun. Looks Japanese.
Japanese
shit.
You
might not.
Nope. Zero interest in it. But I understand, you know, people have, there's a large appeal to it. And I mean, I've seen some pre-reviews already of people singing its praises just off the demo alone. So,
really?
Yeah.
Good. I haven't
If you
seen
like the hack and slash style, you'll most likely love that game.
Have you ever played like the Bayonetta games or anything?
I played
like
Devil
that?
May Cry back in the day.
Yeah, see, I love Devil May Cry. Mm-hmm. Love Devil
yeah,
May Cry.
Yeah, by like the third one, I was over it.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I think third maybe, one's the one that sucked, right?
Right, right. And so I didn't get back. I heard 5 was good, so...
Yeah, it's a stellar franchise. No pun intended. Devil May Cry is a stellar franchise.
He uses that word all the time, folks. It's
yeah.
not because we just
I
said
love
stellar,
saying stellar and gnarly.
It's his thing
I love
to say.
Love catching big waves.
Whoa,
you
bro.
Know, stellar.
Just, whoa, bro.
When's the next surfing game coming out?
Ask Kelly Slater.
He's
apparently the only person who can have one come out.
I will ask Kelly Slater. Yeah, what the fuck?
You guys are close like that,
what
right?
What about Laird Hamilton?
What about him?
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit about video games.
Your namesake should have a fucking game.
You think that guy cares about video games?
Yeah, I do. I think there's actually, you know what, side note here. I don't know dates. Don't care. There's a new Top Spin game, I believe, coming out this month,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know if it was this month, but yeah, I did hear about a new Top Spin game coming out.
I think
out.
It might be this month.
Interesting.
Actually kind of looking forward to it a little bit. I used to love those games. I love... playing a tennis career mode, building your guy up,
yep.
sports games.
Yep.
We all know I'm a big fan of those.
Yep.
It's a good time waster. Did you ever play those games back in the day? Later?
Yeah, because it came out on the 360, am I correct?
Yeah.
It was like that time period. Yeah, I remember playing Top Spin. I thought it was ping pong, though.
There was a table tennis game.
Maybe that's
Rockstar
the one.
Came
yeah,
out
that might be the one I'm thinking. Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure. The Rockstar
a
one.
Random Rockstar table tennis game.
Right, right.
Classic.
Definitely not much interest personally, but, you know, I understand the appeal of it.
There hasn't been a good tennis game in years, man.
Right.
The last few attempts have been absolute garbage.
I mean, at this
and
point, there'll probably
so,
be a pickleball game coming out.
Don't get me started.
Bro.
On the popularity of pickleball.
Oh, man. Don't even get me started, man.
It pisses me off that people are out there.
I can't stand
having
it.
Fun. All right,
I can't stand
I
that
fucking
shit,
can't
dude.
Stand it.
I actually can't stand that there's a league for it.
Is this real? Are you actually upset that there's a league?
Hell yeah! I think. Well, I'm not upset about
yeah.
it. I just don't give. I like. I just think it's silly.
Yeah. Well,
you know, it's probably just as silly as a gaming league.
It's better. I mean, this is a gaming podcast, but it is good that people are getting out there and being active. Okay.
It's an old person sport, so don't pretend
pickleball?
It's not. Do not pretend that it's
there's
not an
gonna
old
be a
person sport.
People are going to be having shuffleboard.
Right,
please.
Extreme.
Extreme.
You ever seen,
shuffleboard?
There's professional tag. There's like competitive
yeah,
tag.
Yeah, I have absolutely
Which is actually
that.
Decently interesting. I've seen
Should
clips of it. It's like,
game.
Oh shit, wow, look at that, you know?
Should be a video game.
I couldn't think of a more boring video game.
You just run and chase.
Fuck,
shit.
Dude, I could not think, oh man.
It would, yeah, that would be awful.
It'd be like, it would basically be a mini game for a Mario Party style game.
Just
what was that Xbox knockoff of Mario Party?
Fusion Frenzy.
There you go. Yeah, Boom, it'd be like a Fusion Laka. Frenzy thing.
Yeah.
Where they're all like dressed urban. I don't know why they always do that.
Are you
dude.
Saying that? Are you making a generalization here that most people that play Extreme Tag dress that way?
No, I was not. I'm just.
I don't think so. I just
I'm critiquing
sure.
the characters of.
I just want to make sure.
What'd you call it again? What was it? Fusion Frenzy.
Fusion Frenzy.
Yeah, yeah. It was like that '90s thing where everybody was like hip. Like, what was those, NFL Street and things like that, or Def Jam, what was
oh,
it, Def Jam?
Def Jam Vendetta?
Yep, which are fun.
Also a good game.
Yeah, yeah. I probably,
with that.
If they re-released that, you think Diddy would be in it?
I think he would be the final boss, actually, yes.
And he throws children at you.
So, I don't want to dive into that too much, but I actually I don't know much about what's going on.
I've been watching a couple things on it, yeah.
Okay, we probably shouldn't talk about
it. I mean,
this.
No, well, what's wrong with talking about it?
All right,
I mean,
fine.
It's in the ether.
Would
yeah,
you like
you
to,
love that word.
Favorite right. Nas song and favorite word.
There
ether.
You go. Yep.
Anyway.
Favorite thing to huff.
I guess this is a video game podcast,
yep.
but yeah, I don't honestly don't know much about what's going on with Diddy. Apparently
sex trafficking charges.
Ah,
I'll just summarize
number.
It that way.
Okay.
That old chestnut.
That old chestnut. Everyone these days.
He ran. He fled the country. So now you got to
really?
See if that country extradites.
So this
back.
Is real.
If the they say if the FBI raids your place, they have a case.
Mm-hmm.
Like they I won't understand. Raid it without a case. So.
So Trump, they had a case on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why he's paying whatever 200 some million now?
Yeah, right? Something like that. But anyway.
Yeah, it's complete side notes. But by the way, Def Jam 2025, Diddy is the final boss. You heard me here first.
Who else fills out that cast? Leave a, you know,
who fills out the new Def Jam?
Who would be in Def Jam Vendetta?
Bro, if it's going to be like Lil Uzi Vert and
Def
like
Jam,
MGK.
I think, is defunct or something now. So it would
Records
just be random. Maybe. Huh. I might be wrong. I don't think it's just Def Jam exclusive rappers. So who would be in it now? You say Lil Uzi Vert?
No, I just said like a bunch of, because that's the rappers.
I think
nowadays.
Eminem's in it. I think.
Yeah, you think they're keeping the old guys in there? Eminem was in the old one. Eminem was in the original one, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Not to say they wouldn't still be in it, but who's relevant in rap nowadays?
Leave a comment. Tell us who you want in the new Def Jam Vendetta.
God, you're going to hate most of the people they say, too.
Yeah, I know.
It's probably just a bunch of rappers.
It's
going
to be Mac Miller. People are.
Oh, rest in peace, dude. Come on. He deserves to be in it. He fucking deserves to be in it, man.
Okay. I think DMX should be in it.
You know,
again,
I actually think, exactly. He was in but here's the thing. Mac Miller shouldn't be in it, because I don't even think he's rap, necessarily. He's like hip-hop. You know what I mean? It's like, you need, like, Nas in there. You need rappers in Def Jam, you know?
God, we're two old guys talking about...
Two old white guys.
New rap. Welcome to the podcast.
Woo! All right, well, you know, moving on. Any other games? Sandland is coming out this month, April 26th. There's a demo. I did download it. You know, I mean, rest in peace was that artist who draws them.
Yeah, Akira. Fuck, I don't even want to say it because it would.
You shouldn't. So the artist who draws the Dragon Ball Z.
I think it's Toriyama.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Akira Toriyama or something
like
that.
Sounds right. Yeah.
Rest in peace. Great artist. You know, Dragon Quest, Dragon Ball Z. I mean, so many things that we grew up with. I mean, Sandland's a really popular manga, I'm pretty sure. But.
I did dip my tip in the demo for just a minute.
Same.
You did?
Yep.
It seems like a game that might hit on some level with me. I mean,
do you think if you don't already like the property, it even draws you in?
Not as much as it would if I knew what the fuck was going on.
Right.
See, I didn't.
That's how I felt
it
when
was
I played
based
it.
On something.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. It's like a very famous manga. So it's like, I look at a game, it's like Dragon Ball Z games. If you didn't watch Dragon Ball Z or you don't currently, you're probably not going to play one of those games. And that's how that game plays, is like those Dragon Ball Z games. Seems like it's the same engine, same developers, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the art style's great, obviously. I'm sure the music's going to be great. It's worth checking out.
Yeah, I'd say check out the demo if you guys have any interest, if you played the Dragon Ball Z games, or if you like that series in general. It's obviously worth checking out at that point.
It's
pretty original concept for the story. But at the same time, I thought the gameplay was decently shallow, and I think sometimes it's like I can only have like one or two games that grind like that.
Yeah,
you know, because that game
play
is
the demo a little bit.
Yeah. I played it for a good amount of
That's
time.
A fair point. I'm worried about. Obviously, this is kind of maybe a dumb thing to say, based on that it's fucking Sandland. But I'm worried that the environments and shit will become too one note.
Yep.
And too, you know.
Well, and not knowing the manga, maybe that's not even a fair assessment for us to make. But it's like what I said about Dune Awakening a couple episodes where I was like, well, it's a fucking desert planet. But the movies are interesting. So, I mean, maybe hopefully the game can be just... by the way, it was not the Sand Wars that we were... Spice Wars. There is a new open world Awakening come out. So I sent you that video. Looks pretty good, man. So I do have high hopes for something like that. It's a fun franchise. It's done well. The story is very unique. So I will wait to see the reviews.
I'll watch the movie. I gotta watch the
You gotta
movie,
watch
so.
The movie, man.
I got it.
The first one and the second one.
Both.
At the same time.
Should I watch
the second watch one? No, watch them both at the same
both
time.
Both at the same time while listening to Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. They all go together, man. You
oh
gotta do
God,
it.
Oh my God, man.
It's fucking crazy.
And then you'll know who assassinated Kennedy.
Ooh, fuck.
Who do you think killed Kennedy?
I think it was Robert Kennedy. I think he gave him the vaccine and it made his head explode. Sorry.
He shot a vaccine into
he
him.
Shot a vaccine.
The magic
up.
Vaccine instead of the magic bullet.
Robert F. Kennedy, who was maybe what,
and the
2
F
years
was for
old
fuck.
At the time.
He's like,
he
Robert
might not
fuck
have even
Kennedy.
Been alive. I don't even know.
I'm sure he wasn't. Looking, he's old as shit now, so he's probably only a little kid. God, he's probably one of those little kids saluting the casket as it went by. You know,
fucking
that sad video.
I don't know, man. I don't know about that guy. But we've a large amount of politic talk.
Yeah, I don't like
more
it.
More than normal. I love
like,
it, actually.
I
Let's
don't.
Get into it.
Hell no.
I'm hell joking.
No. There's nothing worse we could do.
That's why earlier I was trying to steer clear a little bit.
Well, and I think we did a pretty good job of it.
No, John Kennedy was assassinated by Robert F. Kennedy anyway. Video games.
Okay, so my theory on that is that it was George Bush Sr.
Oh, and we're Lyndon still B. going Johnson. With that.
Yep, I'm laying my theory out there. You got your theory out
That's
there.
That's fair. That's fair.
Listen, I've seen Dealey Plaza. I went there, man. I felt the energy. That. I understood it. I traveled back in time. I was there.
Mm.
I'm Zaputer. I'm the guy whose film. That's me. Crazy story arc.
Crazy.
Another
Crazy.
Game that came out recently, Princess Peach Showtime. Did you play the demo that's available?
I didn't play it. I didn't play the demo. It looks middling to me. It doesn't look like one of the great first party Nintendo games that I want. You know what I mean? Obviously, it wasn't going to be, but
I think it's designed to be approachable.
Yeah.
And it's designed to be an easier, softer experience.
Yeah, I know we're a lot older than we were before, man, but I think their experiences are becoming a little too approachable. You know what I mean?
Where's the line drawn short of this franchise? What else? Other game have you felt that about with them?
Like The Last of Us,
for sure.
The last Mario game that came out. Honestly, I mean, even the Galaxy games are a little too easy, in my opinion. Those games, I think, even Super Mario 64 was a little difficult.
Absolutely. But just from the controls.
We were younger, too.
I think it was you can go back. You have that Mario collection on the Switch, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And the game's still a bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's easier for your characters, but...
I'd like a little more edge to my
more
Mario.
More edge to your Mario.
Yeah.
Folks,
yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, I want my Mario
Alex
to
Van
be
Damme edges to Mario.
That's exactly what I just said.
It's wild, man.
Luigi's Mansion, I guess, has a little bit of that difficulty. I mean, it's not the easiest shit
I would
in the
say
planet.
Mario Odyssey, Dark Side of the Moon. So, full circle.
Excuse
did you
me?
Play, yeah, when you beat it, more levels come on the moon that are like a higher difficulty.
I'd like to come on the moon. Do you think that's ever been done?
Wait, how do you think it comes out?
Like and subscribe.
Wait,
leave
how
a
do
comment.
You think cum comes out on the moon?
Well, you can pee on the moon.
How do you know?
Right?
Says who?
I don't know.
Have you read that somewhere?
Like, gravity isn't strong, so strong to the point that when you're peeing, it shoots back into you, right?
Well, it's not shooting out, but do you ever see them like squeeze
would
the things
float?
That's just like...
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. If you
that's
came
what
in
happened.
Space...
Dude,
you think you're just like,
dude, imagine a cum shot.
And you could have cum fights.
Bro.
You could just throw cum at each other.
Just imagine, dude.
I like this.
I like this idea for porn.
No,
all right, it's called.
I like this idea.
It's just called gravity.
Maybe this will be Mr. Beast's next video. They'll get on one of those planes that like dive really fast, you know, and gives you that zero gravity experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you just jerk off real quick, and first one to come.
Cum shot.
Loses, but also wins.
God. We're getting canceled.
Hey-o!
That's a great idea.
I like that. We changed this from Princess Peach Showtime to Cum Bites in Space.
Cum bites in Space!
It's space!
Oh, holy shit.
All right, I'm going to get us back on track here. I think, you know, the only thing I wanted to comment on is the controversy around Dragon's Dogma 2 with the microtransactions.
Yeah,
I just want to tell people, the game came out and a week later, after the reviews were all in, Capcom introduced microtransactions that weren't game-breaking or defining by any means, but the fact that they offered a limited resource for fast traveling, but for money you can have more fast travels, is just the shiciest thing for a full-price $70 game.
I would argue that it is game-breaking. I think if you're someone who wants to purchase something like that, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You're a loser.
Yeah.
It's a bad experience.
You're a loser.
I think you're ruining the experience for yourself, though. Genuinely, I think you're doing yourself a disservice by buying currency and shit that you can earn in game.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's like the whole, I don't mind if it's pay to play, not pay to win.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I could get those items if I just keep grinding.
Mm-hmm.
Or not paywall blocked.
Yeah.
You know, but in the end, I think a full price game having any microtransactions is inherently a slippery slope to game design just completely crumbling from what we love.
Yeah.
Because soon you're going to start seeing fucking games like Warframe and shit charging $70 and still having pay to play shit. All games are going to offer it if we keep buying shit on full price games. Don't touch me.
I'm sorry. Sorry, okay? It just seemed right. I thought you were coming at me aggressively.
If loving you is wrong.
But
I don't want to be right.
I like that.
Come on, man.
I like that a lot.
But anyways, go on
next.
With the microtransactions.
I was just going to say, in the past episodes, I've given you shit for, you know,
Various reasons.
Being cheap, and I'm sorry. Like, you know, this is an instance.
Listen,
where...
these couches aren't free.
That's true. Fucking.
Give me a pillow. You got a pillow.
I want a pillow.
You have a pillow.
Oh, hi. Hi, pillow. My pillow.
Whoa.
Politics.
Talk about a guy that, man, my pillow guy 2024.
Mike Lindell.
Mike Lindell,
this one's
man.
For you, baby.
Yeah,
Sarah
that's
Palin,
right.
VP.
Hey, if we still named our episodes thing, I'd name it Mike Lindell right now.
Yep. Mike folks, Lindell 2024. Yep. But
we do not name our episodes things like that anymore. We stay very on point. We're professionals. We're grown-ups. I want Alex's kids to watch this and be proud of their dad.
I need to somehow have someone even get close to agreeing to have kids with me for that to happen, but we'll get there. Hey, progress.
I believe in
baby.
It. Hey, folks, chime in the comments if you'd like to have Alex's children.
Like and subscribe.
Great genetics.
We need to get
Aryan race. Very Nazi propaganda here.
No. Well, no.
You're like the quintessential Nazi, dude.
My grandmother was Jewish.
Oh,
yeah.
Talk about a quandary. What do you do when your children are like perfect Aryan structures, but they're Jewish?
My mom is actually the first one in our family, in her family, that wasn't born in the Netherlands.
Wow.
And my grandparents actually did house Jews in their home during the... Yeah.
What if they just like
it's
got
true,
like in trouble
story.
Now it is? Like somebody like your grandparents over in Dublin.
How would they get
yeah,
in trouble
because
now.
Somebody heard this. And, like they got arrested. Like there was still some like
what are you doing,
socialist arm
Jews
over
safe.
There that's just like you harbored Jews. It was a war crime.
Anyway, like and subscribe if you think that my grandparents should have harbored those Jews.
Dude, that's hilarious.
We might be having too much fun today.
Why are we laughing at this? Okay.
Microtransactions. Dragon's Dogma. This is... Anyway, I've given you shit in the past for that. And I know that seems like hours ago that we were talking about this now. No, I think this is one instance where that's bullshit.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be charging for that kind of
bro,
shit.
Save slots.
It fucking
charging
diminishes
for save
their
slots.
Own game.
Absolutely.
Wait, is that something
yes.
in Dragon's Dogma?
Oh,
yes. Yeah, that's right.
You
There's only
one.
That's fucking
and you can pay
lunacy.
To... Now, it sounds like they're listening to people's complaints and they may introduce save slots, but right now...
The fact that
you
it
can...
takes
I know.
Complaining
I know,
and
dude.
For people to backlash, for people
who,
to fucking realize
PR'd
this is a bad
shit?
Idea.
Who did they run these past any sort of like focus groups or anything to see
yeah.
if the public would even be receptive to something like that? Of course you're going to get backlash. The thing is, Capcom's decently bulletproof right now. With all these RE5 re-releases... All these Resident Evil remakes that they're releasing that are just killing it, dude. Everything Capcom does right now is perfect.
Even those, though, they fucking have microtransactions.
I know.
They're great
but,
games.
But look
Don't
at
me
they're
wrong,
still
but...
near perfect scores with that, dude. This isn't new for Capcom to do. It's just frustrating that they keep doing it,
mm-hmm.
no matter how much we balk at it.
Balk. I like it, dude. But yeah, no, that's... It's gonna... Hopefully not be a trend that lasts
agreed.
Too
so,
long.
I don't
want
to...
people are not too happy about it. But
rightly so. And I mean, that's why I mean, look, I don't own the game and I'm well aware of the complaint because that's what people are talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when the first week of your release, when your main scuttlebutt is the complaints about your microtransactions, that's bad, dude.
Yeah.
That's not good. Not all... Remember, again, not all press is good press in gaming.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So...
Yeah, speaking of more bad press, because that's what we like to dwell on sometimes, and microtransactions, I mean, oddly enough, a game that's shifted to free-to-play, Overwatch 2 has seen
yeah.
more failure.
Yep.
You know, what a fall from grace for
dude,
that game.
Seriously.
I loved that fucking game when dude. It came out, man. When they switched formats to Overwatch 2, I didn't care for it as much.
Because it was kind of like Overwatch 1 just became Overwatch 2, am I correct?
Yeah. Felt like they needed to change it up just for the sake of changing it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they really should have just released a brand new experience.
That's Blizzard,
and kept
correct?
Overwatch. Yes.
Yeah. You know, they'll release vanilla Overwatch and sell a boatload again.
It's just they've canceled all the PvE plans they had.
I heard.
Which involved laying off a whole department of people.
Yep.
For something that was planned for a long time. It sucks. I mean...
Yeah, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth for the futures of the game industry in general.
Mm-hmm.
Because look, Blizzard is where Blizzard is because of the quality of the games that they used to build.
Yeah.
Their games were immaculate. They were just well-rounded. They were some of the best lore you could find in gaming at that time. And once they were purchased, it's like once those big companies purchase them, man, they lose their integrity and they just become something completely different. Now, I don't I'm not personally, you know, somebody who plays a lot of Blizzard games, but I can appreciate them for what they are, you know. And obviously, I mean, look at, people don't want to like Diablo 4. They do, but they don't want to. It's bad when you, and look at, you're making games that are still really good, but people don't want to like it because they don't like you.
Me?
You specifically.
I didn't have...
I don't know why, dude. Look at, it's not, I didn't do anything about it.
No, you're right, though. They could release fucking World of Warcraft fucking Blow Me Edition.
Yep.
Best I could come up with. And everyone will buy it.
Well, you know,
and...
while vanilla's out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so yep. There's a prime example.
And people...
They fucking ruined it, and then they go back to the OG, and people will fucking buy it again, dude.
I don't even necessarily think they... I mean, I a lot of people played the newer... you know, iterations of WoW 2, all the expansions and stuff like that. But you're right, like, they're finding people want to dislike anything Blizzard does now. WoW might be the only exception to that, because that game is just timeless, apparently.
So I've heard, yeah.
I would have thought there would be a whole new, like, World of Warcraft 2 would have came out by now, like, a whole new
They probably
world.
Have learned, through all their other shit, solid Aladdin reference... All their other shit, they've learned that sometimes throwing a 2 on something doesn't help the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep with what you're doing.
It would sell like fucking hotcakes.
Of course.
But and it also would require a lot more resources.
And they're losing people right now. So, I don't know, man. Maybe this is a good year for not a lot of games to come out for the fact that, like, the gaming industry is getting a big hit right now. Let these companies recover, find where they settle in at and what they can develop next. You know, maybe don't try and develop through these big layoffs because you're going to find holes in it and maybe those holes aren't getting filled.
Well.
And you know.
We're going to need some people to fill them holes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know why I switched accents there.
I don't either. Nope. It's... There we go.
Sorry.
So did you hear that Game Informer is going physical again?
Really?
Physical magazine, mail, Game Informer.
Why?
Why not?
Because no it else costs is... money?
Yeah.
Resources?
I think people who would do things
people,
like that...
workers, labor.
Right. But, I mean, they probably already have those workers and labor, and maybe they don't have enough work. Maybe they're able to take some jobs that aren't being utilized properly right now, and I've never looked at the structure of how they're going to do this, but it's something that Game Informer wants to offer.
I mean, it seems like there was a reason they stopped doing it. Now, I always loved... I had several magazine subscriptions when I was younger.
Game Pro?
Nintendo Power. Or as we call it in the South, Nintendo Power. Nintendo Power.
You're like a beat-em-ups.
What was the other one you said?
Game Informer.
Game Informer.
Game Pro.
I had all the above at some point in time.
I used to steal those demo discs from the store.
Yeah, they were nice.
I used to slip the magazine, just snag that shit.
We need to bring that shit back.
Hell yeah, dude.
Demos are making a little bit of a comeback.
They are, and I'm glad to see it, too, because...
I don't want to jump around too much.
Talk about pride in the game that you're releasing, man. If you can release a demo close to release, it just showcases that, like... you have confidence in your product. And that's why these embargoes on like game reviewers right now where it's like, oh, you can't talk about it or you can't show any gameplay. Dude, that's just, you know, something's wrong there. And it's always a shitty game. Fucking Justice League killed
almost
Suicide Squad killed Justice League. Mm-hmm. Prime example of it right there. So yeah, you're right. Game demo discs do need to make a comeback.
Yeah. So it's interesting to see, because Game Informer, no, they weren't the ones that did those discs. That was Game Pro. I'm pretty sure.
Game Informer, no, I don't think they did.
They might have, but
discs.
They stopped doing those.
Yeah, no, Game Pro, anyway. Nintendo, what'd you say, Power?
Power, yeah.
And then there was one more big one, but I can't think of it right now. But
EGM,
Game Informer.
Electronic Gaming Monthly.
Yeah.
Because
one of them would always talk about
point.
Anime in the back, too. I always remember that.
I can't remember.
Dude,
but...
I remember the first time reading about Assassin's Creed and Bioshock in those magazines. I remember those in my head, like, imprinted, and being just pumped about those games, dude.
I used to cut out, like, I would cut out Halo 2
jerk off to
and stuff like that. Jerk off to Master Chief. come in space, you know what I mean?
did you,
the Banshees.
Have you heard about season 2 of the Halo series yet?
I don't care at all about
that. There's no reason to.
But, jumping around a little too much here, man.
Says who?
Well, I do. Because there was something I wanted to talk about.
Well, we're talking about Game Informer physical.
Yeah, so, yeah. No, I'm curious to hear what their reasoning is. I wanted to put a button on that, I guess, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
To hear, I don't know what their reasoning is. There had to have been a
reason.
You
put a button on me talking?
No, I wanted to put a button on the whole magazine thing before
I like it.
We, you know, stray too far away. But I don't know anyone else that really... any of those major publications that still release a physical.
Yeah. I think right now a big thing is custom art magazines. I've seen that on particular games is a big thing that you order in. And I've seen a couple people do a subscription service to that, but they're pricey, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know what Game Informer is
collecting
gonna look
those. Like some of the covers were really cool looking. And
what would you pay for Game Informer? What would you pay? Yeah. $5 a month? That's embarrassing. $5 a month?
Maybe. You know what I mean? But the only reason I've still got it for as long as I did was because, and I always assumed this was the only thing keeping their physical release open, was the fact that they had that partnership with GameStop for so long, where you would just get a free year subscription if you were a pro member.
Yeah.
But GameStop is not doing great.
No. Well, you know, Best Buy's dropping games, physical games.
Uh-huh.
It sucks, dude. I don't know where I'm going to buy games anymore.
Well,
if GameStop goes out of business,
Amazon. I mean, but physical releases in general are diminishing.
Did you happen to see Metal Jesus Rocks? Do you know him, the YouTuber?
I've heard of him.
He released a video recently talking about physical versus digital and what the future of gaming looks like, and he brought in a bunch of YouTubers to talk about it. I thought it was an interesting conversation to have because, you know, the argument made is that physical anymore is just digital.
Yeah.
So it's like you haven't owned that game since Nintendo 64 PlayStation days or PlayStation 2 days. Like, when's the last time that you put a disc in and you didn't have to download the game?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so because I am pretty attached to physical media still. I would always prefer to own physical, but now with profile sharing, where I can, you know, trade games with people if they have the digital, and the fact that the physical disc doesn't mean shit if the game store is down. Like, 10 years from now, PlayStation doesn't support the PS5 games store. It doesn't fucking matter that I own Elden Ring deal on disc. Because if I don't have the digital file, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's dangerous.
That's where emulation comes in, dude. That's why emulation is so important to protect.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
I emulated the shit out of a lot of games. And I owned all of them. I owned every
copy. Owned them.
A couple of them, I owned multiple copies.
You owned them.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. Too much negativity.
That's not negative, though.
No?
Is it? I mean, I think, if anything, we're just commenting on, like, you know, Is physical media still even a viable option?
Yeah.
That's more or less, I guess, what I want. I guess you could
it's
construe
not negative.
That as negative.
I guess I was
yeah.
just trying to segue into segue. Something segue. Positive that I wanted to talk about before
Laying on
time
me, sister.
Is up. Did you see Judas gameplay?
I did. Shout out to Jake Baldino and Skillub. Those are him, them, and Jack Keighley are the only ones who got to see it. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That's it. So what a cool thing for them. Congratulations, guys. That's a huge accolade
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, that's really cool that they got to interview
but yeah.
Ken Levine.
And all of us benefit from it because we got to see the gameplay from it. What are your thoughts?
I feel bad that I can't remember the third member of Friends Per Second podcast. And that she was also part of the interview. And shout out to her as well. All of them. That's an awesome opportunity.
Absolutely,
they got
dude.
To sit down with Ken Levine. And chat about a game that I just shat on, I believe, a couple episodes ago, a little bit.
Yeah.
And
it was my pick, too.
I want to apologize to you, to Ken Levine.
I don't accept.
Okay, that's fair.
But
I'm
go on.
I'm sure there's other things I should apologize to you for, but...
Yeah, I got a list.
well, accept this one, then, at least, because fuck,
no
man.
Can do.
I gotta
go
check
on.
That box. It looks great, man.
Yeah.
It looks awesome. It looks...
Original.
Bioshock-esque, but not at all really, I mean, not quite like Bioshock. There's a roguelike fucking procedural generation element to it.
Didn't see that coming.
It looks awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a fan of roguelikes, but I also think it's a genre that's become oversaturated and a little bland lately. I think that game is going to breathe some new life into that genre.
Absolutely. Well, it's also not strictly a roguelike.
No, but
you know,
it has those elements.
It just has those qualities to it. So, because I think a roguelike that has really great... Look at Hades. You got a roguelike that had such good writing that it stands out from the crowd. So if you have a game like Judas that has roguelike qualities, but the writing's still immaculate, like we've seen with the Bioshock series, you got a recipe for success right there. I mean... It's probably, you know, I look at a game like that, man, because I'm so tailored towards, like, single-player, like, linear stories or open world that I'd buy it day one, most likely.
Yeah.
And I don't buy a lot of games day one full price. So that's where I hold my value in gaming, is games that just, like, that God of War Ragnarok, prime example right there, of games that are just so strong single-player. But back to Judas, You know, I look at like the characters that they've created there. I'm not fully convinced that I'm interested in them necessarily, but I like the setting. I like the concept. I like the character of Judas. And I mean, what do you got? Troy Baker is one of the voices. You
I
know,
believe,
you have
I'm
good
sure
voice.
he
He is.
is.
He's the he, so there's
Okay.
three characters on the spaceship for I'll kind of summarize it here that are I want to say they're even like conceptualized in your head. They're not even real at this point, it seems like.
They alluded to there being a whole other maybe hub behind what we've seen
Yeah,
that
you're
they
right.
haven't even, you know what I mean? That they
There's like another story
there's
kind of
almost
occurring.
it almost sounded like in the way Assassin's Creed has like a you know how you get in the Animus but it's really happening in the real world.
Right,
It almost
right.
sounded like there's going to be another like tier to this that we don't quite
Absolutely.
know yet.
And with it being a roguelike, every time you die, that story kind of progresses
Progresses a
like
little
a
bit.
God of War Valhalla
Supposed to be
did or
adaptive
Hades.
gameplay, which I'm excited about. Like if you do the same thing
Kind of
over
an,
and over
yeah,
again,
MGS5.
they'll start like the missions that which are generated somehow, a lot of procedural generations. It sounds like the missions are gonna, or whatever you want to call them, are gonna cater to what you your strengths and weaknesses a little bit
And
and
look
what you
at the
do a
game's
lot
so
more.
early.
So
So to sit here and I mean, I'm afraid of wishes like this during such early pre-development
gonna
because
be
of Peter
okay.
Molyneux, the guy who made Fable, the guy who
I don't want you
overpromises
to
the
be scared,
fucking
okay?
world. I'm scared, folks.
Yeah.
If you can't tell, I am shivering over here. I worry about promises of like, oh, it's all just gonna be adaptable gameplay, adaptable worlds that can adapt to your gameplay, not coming to fruition like they promised. So I have high hopes, you know, because Ken Levine typically delivers on things like this. I mean, look at I think personally BioShock 1 is the strongest of all three. I think they kind of, you know, maybe weren't as good as they
I'd
progressed.
agree, but I'd say Infinite's storyline is great and the setting was still pretty damn
Set oh,
cool.
setting. I think Levine will always get it on setting.
Yeah.
I mean,
It's
look
a
at the
pretty
world that
mind-blowing
Judas is.
story too. I think Ken Levine delivers. I wouldn't compare him to Peter Molyneux.
No, I agree. I agree. It's not a fair comparison, but Peter Molyneux creates that like inhibition in me that it's like, maybe I don't want to fully buy into what these people promise sometimes because heaven forbid I set my expectations too high. I, you know, purchase it and I get an atomic heart. So,
Yeah, we'll see.
yeah, I have high hopes though. I mean, it looks fun enough, and you know, the gunplay looks fun. Gunplay almost looks a little cyberpunky, is what I was thinking when I was watching it.
Excuse me.
Yeah, just to kind of wrap it up, I got a couple of things I want to touch base on as well. PS5 Pro. I've been hearing a
People
lot of
aren't too
murmurings.
thrilled, I guess, about
Yeah.
it.
Do you think it's necessary?
I don't know unless, if Sony wants to make money, a little bit of money, maybe.
But are they gonna
I don't know
for the
enough about the
cost of
specs.
developing that, do you think the sales would cover it for people? Is anybody even chime in the comments if you're even interested in purchasing a PS5 Pro? I haven't even seen the PS5 fully optimized yet.
I'm not going to be able to buy another. I mean, I can't justify buying another system right now unless
Especially the
there's
exact same system.
for like a little frame rate boost or
If
something.
I mean
I'm not, if that.
the specs are like laughable in
I
terms of
don't
what
know
they're
much
even
about the
off.
specs,
It's
so.
just nothing. I haven't seen anything that even seems worthy of a purchase if you don't already own one.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, if you already own one. If you don't already own one and you're going to purchase one new, sure, you go for the Pro. But I mean, at this point, I'd hope most people who want a PS5 do have that PS5. Be nice to do a giveaway someday for somebody.
I want to give myself a PS5 Pro.
So you do want one?
I mean, if we're giving them away,
My
yeah.
grandpappy, he told me he
My
always wanted to have a
grandpappy told me.
PS5 Pro.
Yeah.
It's like the
Hey.
least redneck thing his grandfather could say. Another thing coming out soon, Final Fantasy
Me.
16, the
Sorry.
Rising Tide DLC comes out on the 18th of April. 16, did you ever finish it?
No, I need
Oh,
to
folks, chime
dive
in
into
if
it.
you are surprised that he didn't finish Final
No
Fantasy
one's
16.
surprised. I shit on that game a little bit.
He
It's a
did.
game I need to get back into, but I'm playing through, or I'm trying to play through, the remake, Final Fantasy Remake, so that I can play Rebirth. I always want to call it Afterbirth
It's a
every
maybe a
time.
better name. That maybe should have been what they
Final
called it.
Fantasy VII Afterbirth.
Afterbirth. Plus
No, yeah,
something.
I want to play that game because by all accounts, it looks fucking amazing.
Yeah.
So,
Rising Tide. I watched. Did you watch the preview that came out for it? The
No.
preview? Did you watch?
I was gonna
Did
say
you
it. I
watch the
couldn't.
preview?
You like the preview?
Did you? You didn't watch it though?
No. didn't.
It looks great. I mean, one thing that Square Enix is always really good at is cinematics. So they preview really well because it's all kind of pre-rendered cinema. I wouldn't say pre-rendered anymore. It's all in-game graphics, but, you know, it's all scripted cinematics that you're watching the previews for the most part. So it's always very exciting. And then you get into the gameplay, sometimes it's a little stale. But it seems like Rebirth is kind of hitting on all, firing on all cylinders from what I've heard. Yeah. It sounds like there's not many complaints. I watched my brother play it while I was up north last weekend. Not my thing. I don't think I'll ever play those games. And it's a shame because I really did love Final Fantasy VII growing up, but I think now at this point the anime-isms are just too tough for me.
How does your brother feel about it?
He loves it.
He loved it, didn't he?
Loves it, man. That shit doesn't bother him as much. Yeah, no, and I mean, it is a great game. It looks. I mean, the graphics are just phenomenal, dude. It's amazing what Square Enix can do. I don't even know what engine they develop in, but it's really impressive, man.
Right on.
And then some of the last news to touch on, Resident Evil 9 is going open world. Did you hear that?
I did see that there's going to be vehicles, there's going to be, I'm curious to see how open world they go with that. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be like a, what's that fucking game? Days Gone type scenario where, you know, I mean, obviously there ain't going to be that volume of zombies,
yeah, it's
but it's
going to
be more isolated experiences within an open world.
Do we stay over the shoulder? Do we go first person?
I hope that the story doesn't suffer from it, because if you remember when Metal Gear Solid went open world, for some reason this just reminds me of that. I loved it. Metal Gear Solid 5 is a fantastic game.
Absolutely.
But
second time's been referenced this episode.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh. I said it earlier.
Interesting. Yep. I feel bad. I don't remember that. But
well, I think I interrupted you saying it. So
anyway, Metal Gear Solid 5, though, when that came, I feel like they did sacrifice some of the story elements because of the fact that it's open world. It just naturally
isn't as cohesive. Drama. There was drama behind the scenes.
Well,
he didn't get to finish the narrative. He got booted before he could give it the ending he wanted. I mean, I think there's a chance we could have got a completely different game if all that politics didn't happen.
Forget Metal Gear Solid, even. Just any open world game, I feel like just that lends itself to the story not being as cohesive.
How could it be when you have the freedom to approach different missions at a different time?
And there's other stories, you know what I mean? When there's a linear experience that's catered to, you know what I mean? The story comes across a lot stronger to me, usually. Yep. So I'm curious to see, you know, how that works with Resident Evil.
I know. Again, what form? Hey, listen, if there's one game that can reinvent itself, one franchise is Resident Evil.
Yeah, I'm sure
they've
done
it every time, dude.
Another thought about that is, will it be less scary because it's open world? You know what I mean? Just it being so spread out.
Have you played a scary open world game yet?
Days Gone wasn't necessarily scary.
I would call it thrilling. Or
so, yeah, I guess I'm picturing like almost like a Dark Souls-y open world where there's, you know,
sections.
Yeah,
but that's what they're already doing
bigger
to some extent. Resident Evil is already that, so I don't know what an open world Resident Evil looks like. If it's not
that
small open areas, then it's one big open world, and at that point is it, I mean, you can call it Resident Evil if you want to call it Resident Evil.
Hey, you can call me whatever.
Shit,
you want,
I ain't calling it that.
I just, you know, a lot of speculation. I think, like you said, if anyone can nail it, it's them. I'm sure they'll nail it, and I'm sure they'll charge you for in-game currency and shit like that.
Absolutely.
Like,
especially Resident
discussed.
Evil, man. What a franchise that they can milk, man, and they know it.
But, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much everything I wanted to touch on this week. Do you have anything else that you wanted to mention?
That's about it, man.
Boom, baby. Well, Alex, as is tradition,
fuck,
like we always do, I'm not going to confuse you with my linguistics this week. I'm going to be straight up and tell you. Alex, give the folks a little, what is it? A little
word of affirmation.
Word of affirmation. To send them along the way while they wait laboriously for our next episode to come
out. I've said this several times and probably in some form, but hey, just remember to be kind to yourself, everybody.
God, you like fucking what culture anymore?
Just, well, really?
Yeah, at the end of all his episodes, you're always fucking talking affirmations.
Oh, well, no, that really is, though. I mean, I was a little down on myself last episode. I don't want anyone to worry about me. I want to, you know, just extend that as my word of affirmation this week. Just remember to be kind to yourself and stay positive, because there's a lot of shit to seep through and it's easy to lose your head.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you can't do that, you can kill yourself. So, folks, that's it. Episode 11 is in the books. Punchline Pixels. I'm Laird Wysocki. This is Alex Van Dam. If you liked what you heard and you are not yet subscribed, please subscribe no matter what you're listening to on this. We appreciate all the support. We're looking to grow our following this year. We got a goal in mind, and we want to really just kind of kick up the fire in this and kind of do something in mind with this, here. Man. You know, yeah. I kind of want this podcast to become something bigger than it is right now. So, folks, any support that you can lend, you know, liking or sharing this video too, feel free. We appreciate any support that you give us.
Absolutely.
Great seeing you all again. We'll see you next time. Woo!